The University Tower chimes, ringing another session of Ask the Professor, the show on which you match wits with University of Detroit Mercy professors in an unrehearsed session of questions and answers. I'm your host, Matt Mayo, and let me introduce to you our panel for today. To my left, from the Department of Biology, it's Professor Stephanie Conant, that department's chair as well.
I am.
Yes.
Yep, I'm ready.
Happy. What did the students say to me today? This has been a tough day, week, month, semester, year.
Yeah.
I'm like, yes.
I'm ready to forget the last couple days. It's been
a little bit
of a cluster.
Big time. I'm sorry to hear that you're losing your lab worker. Are you going to be able to replace this position?
I had to submit a justification. We'll see. Lots of, you know, super fun paperwork. We'll see what happens.
Yeah. I really hope it comes through.
She was good. Very good. It's going to be hard to replace her, so.
That's too bad.
We'll see.
She'll have fun with the turtles, and then everybody
yeah,
will.
Yeah, I mean, what can you say to that? She's going to go monitor desert tortoises.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yay.
I immediately chimed in because I thought it would be well received. If you see any with, like, any Mexican drug lord's head floating on it, be careful because it could explode, which is a direct Breaking Bad reference. Nobody got it, so I look like an idiot. Anyway, yeah. Before I make any more bad references, Professor Joe Avocet is here from the Department of Communication Studies.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. So, walk us through what's going on with the FBI right now. Can you give us a summary?
For the gun stuff?
Just in general.
Oh,
just in general. We did have that MSU stuff come through this
afternoon.
That's
true.
That's not good. Jeez.
Yeah. The FBI has their hands full.
Apparently.
One investigation after another,
mm-hmm.
and... None of it seems to be all that pleasant or reflects well. Or nobody seems to be happy
nobody
with the work
seems
of the FBI.
Happy.
So tough to be in their shoes right now.
I guess
or
so.
Or J. Edgar Hoover's. So.
Oh. Wherever they may be.
Or
in his heels.
Yeah. Exactly. So now, exactly what is the news about the Michigan State player family member?
So I just read a little bit about it this morning, but it seems, and I don't think it's all that surprising. Everybody kind of knows these things happen, especially at big-time programs.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing it doesn't happen more often.
Huh.
Apparently they were giving money to some of players' parents or players under the table and kind of modest money, not for a professor, but modest
right.
money for, you know, some of the money the boosters have and stuff. So just the way it goes, I guess.
It reminded me when I heard about it, about how the, when the real not good times with the Detroit City Council, we had people accusing each other of taking bribes and... One of the times Monica Conyers called somebody out and it's like, didn't you take that bribe like a couple of days ago? It was like $650 and like everybody laughed at the city council meeting like, that's what it's going for? Like, aren't you a big timer?
Yeah.
Is it like a Big Mac and an Egg McMuffin or you know what?
Wow.
Oh, what a world we live in. Professor Dave Chow of the College for Creative Studies.
Pleasure to be here. I'm just thankful for no floods. Did not run in potholes today.
Mm.
I'm thankful there. So.
Pothole is becoming the music tune that we all sing, isn't it?
Are y'all taking detours to
avoid
certain
ones? I am swerving through downtown. Like this morning, I was running late to class, so I take my little goat path, and it wasn't good.
Goat path.
I was swerving all over God's green earth like I was on the Mars rover, so I mean, it was ugly.
Mm-hmm. The Facebook meme is, this is what a pothole looks like where you live. This is what a pothole looks like, you know, in New York, whatever. The second to last one has
car
the
driven.
Full small car, like, in the hole.
Or driving off
then
the cliff.
It's driving off the edge of the Grand Canyon. It says Michigan, really tiny at the bottom.
And have you guys seen, was it Van Dyke and
yep,
11 miles? Yeah, 11 miles, yeah.
You can see the rebar.
Yeah, so. That's bad.
Yeah.
There's a couple places on... Heading downtown, that's pretty bad.
Yeah, Mound is the worst. That's what everybody says. Hands down, Mound is the worst, whether we believe it or not. Continuing around the table, Professor Kendra Evans is here from Chemistry and Biochemistry.
Hello.
Hello. And how are things?
Things are good.
Your daughters have recovered from recent illness.
Yes, only one had it.
Okay.
Only one had it. I think the other one, so the flu, it's the flu. But I think the other one had the flu 2 years ago, twice in the same season, so clearly two different strains. And so I think it gave her some immunity this year because she did not get sick, and she probably should have given close proximity to sister and whatnot. So we're grateful.
Very good.
Everybody's getting better.
I understand it's taken over the Kagi family, although they're recovering recently.
They both showed up to teach today, which,
it's pretty amazing.
They're alive. That's good. They spent a couple days at home.
They have had a rough go of it this term.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Their six-year-old has not gotten it at all.
Immunity.
Didn't they also have issues like this toward the end of last semester, too? Because wasn't Jacob supposed to do a show with us?
Jacob and Emily will be joining us sooner or later.
Their family is like my family. So if any kid at daycare gets sick, then their kid will get sick. And their kid will have a fever and their kid will throw up. That's our story. So Jacob and I speak the same language.
Yeah. That's the order. The order it happens in. Yeah. Professor Heather Hill Vasquez is here from Sabbatic Land.
My bulbs started coming.
I saw some on campus.
Is that a little premature?
Yeah. It was 60-some degrees last week.
Yes, that's 65. When they started coming up. So I walked around saying, go back down. Go back down.
How did that happen? We had all that snow.
I don't know.
Not anymore.
It got nice and warm and they were starting to peak up.
Do we need to go? Well, I'm trying to think. What's the nearest hockey rink by you? Do we need to go get Zamboni ice and cover your bulbs?
Maybe. I don't know. Actually, it would probably be a good idea for it to snow again because then it would give some insulation.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
But I don't know. And right now we have a lake in our front yard.
Wow. Ooh.
It's going to be 57 and sunny next Tuesday. So
darn it.
Yeah.
Dang it.
They're just going to have to grow.
We thought it was going to be a tough winter, and it was for X number of days.
Well,
but maybe
we'll have some mild sort of coasting into spring.
Winter is not over.
I'm not buying it for a second.
You're like, I don't buy it.
4 weeks to go.
I am not going
to
be
fooled. Hey, it was -5 in Medicine Hat last week, so.
It's true.
No.
It hasn't been that cold here yet.
We'll see.
I'm not buying it.
Folks, this is a program that could send us questions regarding anything. If you stump the panel, you win a prize. And if you don't stump the panel, you could win a prize like an autographed photograph or an ATP mug. You can send us the questions in a number of ways. You can email us at atp@udmercy.edu. You can reach us on the web at udmercy.edu/ATP or find us on Facebook. And last, we have the Super Friends together. We were looking at some questions from Julie Elder of Poughkeepsie, New York. Four actors. And then we were trying to figure out the movie they were all from. Burt Bacharach, Steven Spielberg, Fred Savage, Robert Wagner.
Ooh, well, this is some famous.
Definitely
people.
A modern era
what?
Movie. Early 2000s.
Oh, Steven
Austin Powers? No.
It was an Austin Powers
really?
Movie.
Oh,
yeah,
Steven
but which
Spielberg?
One?
Oh, Austin Powers.
There's only three.
There's Goldmember.
Goldmember it was.
And
yes, Goldmember.
I don't even remember the second.
The Spy Who Shagged Me.
Was that the first one? Is that the second one?
That was the second one.
And well, the first one was what?
Austin Powers, International Man of Mystery.
Gotcha.
That one's too hard. That's too long. Let's remember that.
Helena Bonham Carter, Steve Buscemi, Jessica Lange, Albert Finney.
Oh,
Little
fish,
known.
Fish,
yes.
Fish.
Yes.
Good fish. Great fish.
Almost there. It has to do with the size
big
of the fish.
Big fish.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. When you said fish, I kept thinking Abe Vigoda.
Abe Vigoda. It's a Tim Burton.
Yeah.
Tim Burton.
Yeah, I'm like,
it has the Michigan fight song in it.
It does?
Yeah. It's really strange. It's like this low-lying melody that I think it's like actually in a parade. Do they have a parade
really?
In that movie? Do you remember that?
It's been forever.
They're playing the Michigan fight song in it, which is, I think, very strange.
Hmm. How about William H. Macy, Dean Stockwell, Glenn Close, Gary Oldman?
Ooh. Like Gary Oldman shows up in everything good as of late, so...
He just melts into a role.
Well, I mean, that Winston Churchill role, you could, wow.
He melted. William H. Macy, Dean Stockwell, Glenn Close, Gary Oldman.
Dracula.
Yeah.
It's a reasonable guess. Okay, how about I give the whole thing away by saying, get off of my plane.
Well, that helps.
Air Force One.
Air Force One. With a very cranky old
Harrison Ford
as the president.
Was Amy Archer? Oh, no, who was the first lady?
Oh, jeez. That's right.
You know, that one.
Yeah, that one. I couldn't remember. Yeah.
She melts into a role.
Yeah, there's another one.
Glenn Close was the vice president.
Vice president.
Movie. Yeah,
Macy was the pilot and...
Stockwell was like the...
Chief of staff.
Flight attendant.
Yeah, William H. Macy. Wilford Brimley, Jane Fonda, Michael Douglas, Jack Lemmon.
Jack Lemmon?
Mm-hmm.
It's not Some Like It Hot, so.
Wilford Brimley, Jane Fonda.
Grumpy Old Men?
It's such a good guess.
Too modern.
That's my only one I know with him in it.
Jack Lemmon?
Michael Douglas. Oh. Jack Lemmon.
The Apartment.
It's not Glengarry Glen Ross.
Mm-mm. Grumpier Old Men?
There's no women in that film. It's like one of those films that
doesn't really? Have women. Even with Jane Fonda?
That's why I hesitated, because...
Says here it was... Well, the title contains the name of a country. Very populous country.
Populist. Oh, I think I know what this is.
Yes,
from
yes,
Russia
yes.
Russia with love. I don't know.
That's good. Even more populous than Russia.
Oh.
This country has over a billion residents.
China. Oh, the China Syndrome.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's what I was thinking
of. Wonderful movie. I can't believe
that was.
That Wilford Brimley was in that.
Oh no, he was the controller at the nuclear plant. Remember, he was the one who got gunned down.
That's a great movie.
Yeah. Now that I remember it.
I recently heard Jane Fonda tell a story. Her being in that movie, where she was wearing like wedge sandals, and she screwed up her ankle, and she couldn't take ballet classes anymore, which is why she started her exercise tapes.
So that movie was
that's
a genesis
what did it.
To...
Okay.
Right. I mean, I don't know. Sorry if that's boring.
But... How about Martin Balsam, Joe Don Baker, Jessica Lange, Nick Nolte?
Not King Kong.
I believe this would have been the... original version of this movie that's been remade a number of times.
Okay. One more time with the names.
Martin Balsam, Joe Don Baker, Jessica Lange, Nick Nolte.
Joe Don.
We're probably more familiar, I don't want to mess up the two different versions of it. We're familiar about this because Robert De Niro was in a more modern version of it.
Wow.
Is that, and that's what this is, and she's leaving it off the list, and then I'm really... really in trouble.
Because Martin Balsam, he was the one who took over Archie Bunker.
Oh, really?
Partnered up with him in Archie's Place.
This is a classic example of a horror trope of a man stalking a family.
Oh, that's that with Robert Mitchum in the original. Cape Fear.
Cape Fear. Yeah. There we go. Okay. So is that the Robert De Niro one? Or I think that's the original one.
De Niro, wasn't he stalking Nick Nolte Gary Busey?
I don't think this is the original one.
Okay.
No, the one with Robert Mitchum.
That's what you're thinking of. That's what I was thinking of. Yeah.
Yeah, De Niro was, I remember that one scene where he's hanging on the strut of the car as they're driving away.
Right.
That
scared exactly.
Daylights out of me.
And we're going to think of other ways to scare Dave while we take a break.
It's an Ask the Professor flashback. From the Department of Performing Arts and Theater, Professor Arthur Beer.
How'd you do, Edwin?
See, who is he today?
I'll just read a lovely article about Australia.
Professor Arthur Beer from the Department of Theater and Performing Arts was a regular on Ask the Professor from 1988 to 1999. Arthur still makes guest appearances on the show from time to time, and he always seems to come up with a different character voice when greeting the listeners at the start of the show.
From the Department of Theater and Performing Arts, Professor Arthur Beer.
How do you do?
Now, Arthur wasn't the only Ask the Professor panelist known for his impersonations. You see, one day the late Professor George Pickering was a little tardy in getting to the studio, so somebody had to at least try to fill in for him.
On my right, from the Department of History and the Assistant Dean of the College of Liberal Arts, Professor Kathy Bush.
Hello, Edwin. Aren't you going to introduce George?
Oh, yes. I forgot about George.
How could you ever?
I don't know. George Pickering.
Pleasure to be here. As always.
As always, yeah. Okay. Thank you for filling in for George, yes. On Kathy's right, also from the Department of History, Professor Greg Sumner.
Hi, Edwin. Nice to be here.
Nice to have you here. And on Greg's right, from the Department of Theater and Performing Arts, Professor Arthur Beer.
Hi, Edwin.
Hello, Arthur. And
entering the room right now from the Department of Religious Studies,
the chair of that department.
He's already been introduced.
Professor George Pickering.
Oh, pleasure to be here, as always. Yeah. Did I miss something?
Not really.
Nothing at all,
no. And we are back We got one more question here from Julie Elder of Poughkeepsie, New York. Thanks again for sending these in, Julie. We've done pretty well, I gotta say. We didn't hit the Avengers in our last show, but we've gotten all the rest right.
I'm dying
with all the generous extra credit that we're giving here today. Let's finish with Jeffrey Tambor, Helen Slater, Jack Palance, Bruno Kirby.
City Slickers.
City Slickers.
That's a good one.
City Slickers. Very good movie.
Helen Slater was...
I never even heard of her.
No, she played Supergirl. That's why. That's not
the last two.
Oh, awesome.
Was she the wife to Billy Crystal?
We don't know. We don't know.
My minutia mind works stupid things like that. So.
Yeah. We don't know who three
Let's move on,
of
Dave.
Sorry, my mind's stuck there. I still can't get over Avengers. So.
Is that the one who wore the red shoes
on
Tuesday?
I'm upset with myself about that
too. So the great Kimberly Richards, who in the modern era, saying that a lot lately, has sent us so many questions, sent us some new questions, but also... A little edification based on a question we had a few shows ago about the theme song to Frasier. Mm-hmm. Why Toss Salads and Scrambled Eggs is the name of the song.
Oh, I got that one right. I remember.
Yes, you did.
So few and far between.
The composer, Bruce Miller, says on his blog, I was told they wanted something eclectic and jazzy, but I had to avoid any direct references to psychiatry, radio, the name Frasier, and anything else directly indicating aspects of the show. So it's sort of a coded song where the tossed salads and scrambled eggs, as in, but I don't know what to do with those tossed salads and scrambled eggs, is it's a tough business dealing with these people with mental disorders all day long. That's the code that it's supposed to be.
Scrambled eggs.
They're calling again. There you go.
Could you do that again, Matt? Sing that again.
That was the one time.
Ever again.
There goes
to think that I would be in the same category as Kelsey Grammer for voice
Matt
timber.
Matt has left the building.
Yes. Okay, thanks. Kimberly always gives us lots of background to be able to answer these questions. Can you describe what toasted skin syndrome is?
Sunburn?
Officially called erythema ab igni.
Eczema?
It's not eczema.
I'm sorry, I'm not exactly clear about
what
we're supposed to
be. Is it a patchy rash?
Psoriasis?
It is a rash. It's not psoriasis. But what causes the rash? Toasted skin syndrome.
Pop-Tart.
Heat.
Heat is correct. Partial credit. But heat from one of two things.
What, like radiation burns or something?
No.
You actually toasted yourself.
It's not too far off from reality. I'll give you one of the two. Let's see if you can figure out
heat
the other one.
From a particular source.
Exactly. One of them is overuse of heating pads and the elderly. That is one cause of it. What is the other cause that would not be necessarily just for the elderly?
Laptops.
Hot laptops.
Oh.
Yes.
Ooh, hot laptop.
Not good on your skin.
Not hot lap dancing, but hot laptops.
Well,
it's good for your skin.
Symptoms include mottled skin and a rash. Yes. Huh. There you go.
You will not have to worry about that for the next 40 days.
I guess.
There you go.
Wait, can I check?
However many days
are
left.
It's a blessing in disguise.
I'm just going to use what I gave up for Lent to get me out of anything and justify any other thing that I want.
Just think pork bun, Matt. Just think pork bun. It'll get you through.
Jeez.
Pork bun.
What car company logo consists of four interlinked rings?
Interlinked?
It's Audi. And why that number?
Countries.
Because the Olympics... Took
not
over five?
Not countries, not the Olympics.
Four
founding
brothers?
Founding partners.
Founding partners is good. So four companies came together to make Audi. DKW, which makes motorcycles. Wanderer makes mid-sized cars. Audi is more the deluxe cars. And Horch, which are luxury cars. This is all, what do they make? Auto Union AG in 1932. So this is in Bavaria. They changed their name to Audi in 1965, the same year it was acquired by the company we call Volkswagen, the people's car. What sea creature killed the crocodile hunter Steve Irwin in September 2016?
Stingray.
Yes, poor guy. Yeah, let's see.
His kids have turned out okay.
They're all right.
They got their own TV show now.
Yeah, they do. That's what I hear.
Nepotism.
Yeah, Stingray Barb while filming an underwater documentary film. By the way, the name of the film, you guys remember the name of the film he was making?
No.
No.
Heartbreak.
The Ocean's Deadliest.
Oh.
The Ocean's Deadliest. Yes.
He had to prove it.
Yep, he did. They run a whole family foundation based on, like, there's several zoos named after him in Australia, and he's a really, really big deal, even in I nearly said post-mortem.
In death.
Thank you. Yes, after having passed. What famous building in New York City did Frank Lloyd Wright design?
The Guggenheim.
The Guggenheim Museum. It's the permanent home to a renowned collection of Impressionist, Post-Impressionist, Early Modern, and Contemporary art, and special exhibitions as well. Designed by Frank Lloyd Wright, it's considered to be one of the 20th century's most important architectural landmarks. The Guggenheim, so what's an architectural element that you can tell us about the Guggenheim?
It looks like a big rice steamer.
Yes, that is true.
Yeah.
And there are no stairs, it's all ramps, uh-huh. Right?
Yep. And once you get to the top, it's kind of trippy looking down. But
yeah, it is. It is. It's a giant corkscrew, mm-hmm. basically. Awesome. What rule was made in 1949 regarding the rink ice at NHL games, 1949?
It had to be a certain thickness?
It wasn't thickness.
They had to have that Zamboni machine go.
No Zamboni machine. No.
The red line, the goal lines, center ice, flue lines,
temperature,
face-off dots.
No.
Hold on, what year?
Cool. This is cool. 1949.
It's cool.
It's the first Zamboni.
Yeah, something like that.
What year?
1949. Okay. I was just reading something about the rinks, too. Doggone it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, what did it?
No I'll give
goal
you a hint.
Blue.
I'll give you a hint.
A crease?
Previously, games had been played on water that was frozen on top of concrete.
Mm. Painted.
Something. Yes, now they had to paint the concrete because the black puck did not have contrast against the dull gray ice.
Oh.
So they painted the concrete white, which gave the contrast. Yes.
Yeah, Matt, did you ever skate? Did you take the kids over to Berkeley Ice Arena?
It was a long time ago, yeah.
But that ice was gray as gray could get. Yeah,
it's pretty gross.
Kind of scuzzy, so.
That's right. Doesn't exist anymore. It's now some weird, sweaty workout gym.
How do you know it's sweaty?
I've been there. I just haven't worked out. I brought my, just dropped my
over,
kids off.
He just goes over there and sweats. Practice.
Okay.
It's like a sweat lodge.
Like this room.
Yeah, exactly.
They had, it was an old facility. They didn't keep it up very well. And for almost 15 years now, the Berkeley Ice Rink is just a piece of concrete shaped like an ice rink. So it's just kind of sad, actually.
Degraded horribly.
Mm-hmm. What name did an Ernest Hemingway heroine share with the author's famous 38-foot fishing boat?
Oh, man.
Das Boot?
No. It's like Estella? Or...
Can you repeat that?
What name did Ernest Hemingway did an Ernest Hemingway heroine share with the author's famous 38-foot fishing boat? No, they said shipping boat.
Can you tell us what novel?
Yeah, actually, I can. Let's see. The central character of For Whom the Bell Tolls.
Clara.
No.
Anastasia, some...
It's sort of interesting. It was a nickname that Hemingway gave for his second wife, Pauline Pfeiffer,
mm-hmm.
who he divorced several days after For Whom the Bell Tolls
Ooh.
Was mm-hmm. published. Mm-hmm. But again, it was the nickname.
Quasimodo.
Nope. It was Pilar.
Yeah.
Pilar.
Yeah.
The heroine from For Whom the Bell Tolls and his 38-foot fishing boat. Who keeps track of this stuff?
That's Mark crazy. Would know that.
Yes.
I mean, Alfresco.
Oh, him. Yeah, that guy too.
Who were the first singing brothers that were inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall
Everly.
Of Fame? It says the Everly Brothers, yeah. Known for steel string guitar playing and close harmony singing. The duo, consisting of Isaac Donald Don and Philip Phil, were elected in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in the first group. Oh, let's see if we can knock that one out of the park. What year, first group for Rock and Roll Hall of Fame?
99.
No, it was before that.
Ooh. Like 92?
It was before 92.
Oh.
74.
No, it says here 86.
Mm. I was at school then?
92, yeah. Interestingly, was when the next set of brothers were inducted.
The Smothers Brothers?
Not the Smothers Brothers.
Righteous.
No, actually, it says Isley Brothers.
Isley.
Oh, good call.
Summer Breeze.
The Gibbs.
Oh, we could use one right about now.
Yeah, we could, yeah.
We really could, actually.
This is what it feels like is happening right now.
This is summer non-breeze.
Summer stagnant breeze.
How many years old was Marilyn Monroe at the time of her untimely death?
35.
You know, she was 36. I'm giving 36. It to you.
Wow.
That's pretty solid, yeah. That's, let's see, August 5th, 1962, 4:25 a.m. That's actually pretty sad. Though officially classified in police records as a probable suicide, the possibilities of accidental overdose or homicide have never been ruled out. In the decades following her death, she's often been cited as a pop and cultural icon, as well as, of course, the quintessential American sex symbol. There you go. 35. How did, just off the top of your head, you're like...
Well, I knew she was young.
Yeah.
That's wild.
But I it was just a guess.
Okay. Yeah, there's the JFK, had her bumped off, supposedly.
She married two famous people.
Yeah. Oh, tons of famous
people. DiMaggio and
Arthur Miller.
Yeah, speaking of U of M, huh? What widely accepted concept about the origin of the universe is known by a phrase that was originally used to discredit it?
The Big Bang.
The Big Bang, yeah. It was derisively labeled the Big Bang in a 1950 radio broadcast by British astrophysicist Fred Hoyle, a proponent of the steady state theory.
Mm-hmm.
Hoyle's favorite theory has long since been disproven, while the theory he disparaged and the name he mockingly gave it live on.
Don't
Isn't
disparage.
That just the way?
Don't disparage.
I know. It reminds me of the Spice Girls.
Right.
Which are reforming.
Well, they were derisively given the nicknames, which they embraced, and then they became very popular for those names.
Well, I mean, they are reforming and they're
yeah. exactly the same.
Right. I just like that that's where your mind went.
Well, with no tech, I mean he's got
anybody historically has been disparaged, we should probably add the Spice Girls.
Absolutely. Put the Spice Girls on that list.
Everything.
Which film earned the late great Robin Williams his only Oscar?
Good Will Hunting?
It says Good Will Hunting, that's right. Can you remember the three times previous to that he had been nominated?
Aladdin?
No, not
good,
Aladdin.
Good Morning Vietnam,
87.
What's that other one where he was the Patch Adams?
Patch Adams. Mm-hmm. I don't think he was nominated.
Mm-mm. Mrs. Doubtfire?
Nope.
I don't understand.
That's like, what else?
Where's the one? What's the one where he plays kind of a crazy...
The Birdcage?
I'm thinking of one English teacher?
Dead
Poets Society.
And the one where he is a crazy
kind
homeless
of
person.
Knight. It's like a questing knight.
Terry Gilliam. Yes.
Fisher King?
There we go. Yeah. Fisher King.
I never heard of that.
For the record, Williams also received during his career 2 Emmys, 4 Golden Globes, 2 Screen Actor Guild, SAG, awards, and 5 Grammys, because they still gave out Grammys at that point for comedy albums. So, and only 1 set of rainbow suspenders. Robin Williams, we miss you a lot. That's pretty crazy if you think about it.
Detroit Country Day.
To be sure. Let's see. What am I missing because of Robin Williams? When you brought up Aladdin, there's just no question to me, based on that point in my life, that is my favorite Disney cartoon of all time. And
it's a good
I think
one.
That he.
And it was because of him.
Because of him, primarily.
See, I thought we were going to go down that Pam Dauber route. That's also.
Well, we've had a few questions about the. There was the Pam Dauber stalker. What happened?
My sister Susan, or what was it?
My sister Sam.
Sam. The stalker killed her, was it?
Killed the actress who played Pam Dauber's sister on the...
And she's also a local, too, isn't she?
Pam Dauber?
Yeah.
Oh, I think she is. That's actually a good point.
She married a local, too.
There you go. We're going to have to say goodbye, Stephanie.
Goodbye.
Joe.
See ya.
Dave.
See ya.
Kendra.
Bye.
Heather.
Bye-bye.
And now these words.
You can email Ask the Professor at atp@udmercy.edu. Tweet to us on Twitter @AskTheProfessor or using the hashtag AskTheProfessorUDM or visit the Ask the Professor Facebook page.
Ask the Professor is transcribed at the facilities of the Briggs Building in the Department of Communication Studies in the College of Liberal Arts and Education at the University of Detroit Mercy's McNichols campus. ATP, as we call it, is produced and directed by Michael Jason, and our executive producer is Dr. Vivian Dix. Until next week, I'm your host, Matt Mayo.